Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Missed opportunity for the Knicks yesterday, but a golden opportunity for the Atlanta Hawks as free agency set to begin in about, 7 hours or so. It is Canty and Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio. And on your smart speaker, we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Don't forget Sirius XM Channel 80 as well. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We will get to your calls in just a few minutes because yesterday a tremendous trade that was made by the Atlanta Hawks in getting DeJounte Murray from the San Antonio Spurs, a guard who nearly averaged a triple-double for most of the season, ended up around 21 points a game, 9 assists, 8 rebounds. The guy's a terrific defender, and now it seems as if the San Antonio Spurs are just headed to flat-out tank at this point. Hawks give up 3 first-round picks, 1 pick swap. 2 of the picks are unprotected, and Danilo Gallinari. This is a phenomenal deal for the Atlanta Hawks yesterday. And Chris, at the same time, I have to wonder, where were the New York Knicks involved in this? Because if they were able to tie Murray together with Jalen Brunson, and then you have RJ Barrett, then we're moving the needle in the Eastern Conference.
Well, here's the thing, Carlin. You'd like to be able to pair a guy that has been on an all-defensive team and was the steals champ this past season with Jalen Brunson, who's not necessarily known for his defensive prowess, right? But now if the Knicks, even if they are going to land Jalen Brunson in free agency, you're talking about a backcourt with Jalen Brunson and Evan Fournier. Not necessarily world beaters on the defensive end. And we know that that's what Tibbs' calling card is. That's what the identity of Tom Thibodeau coach teams has always been since he's been a head coach in the NBA. So I think the Knicks would be they're losing a lot by missing out on DeJounte Murray. Not only are you getting an all-star caliber player, but in terms of how that player impacts what you're trying to do with your roster and how he would complement the other pieces. I mean, I just don't understand why the Knicks couldn't bring themselves to go to that territory that the Atlanta Hawks were willing to go to in order to get Murray. Because again, Carlin, how often does a 25-year-old all-star become available via free agency or the trade market? It doesn't happen that often. So it feels like this is one of those situations the Knicks missed out on. And for a franchise that had been building to this moment over the past couple of years, I just don't understand why you're stockpiling all of those first-round draft picks if not to make a move like the Atlanta Hawks made yesterday for Murray.
Well, here's Brian Windhorst on KJM this morning, or rather on 98.7 ESPN in New York this morning, on exactly what happened with the Knicks in this situation.
The Knicks were definitely had some talks. I will say that I've seen the Knicks get some criticism for not winning this bidding war. The Hawks gave up an extraordinary haul to get DeJounte Murray. DeJounte Murray is a very good player. He's a 25-year-old all-star on a very good contract for the next 2 years. These players do not come around very often, which is why there was a bidding war for him. And the Hawks paid for that. Not only did they offer 2 unprotected picks, which is just, when you offer unprotected picks, especially multiple, chances are you're going to get burned. And a pick swap. I would almost guarantee you that one of those 3 picks is going to sting the Hawks pretty badly. I just think the Knicks weren't willing to bid in that zone. I kind of don't blame them. Now, if you want to say that, how is that going to help them, you know, that attitude help them, we have to see what they do with this bounty of picks. They have 11 firsts in the next 7 years.
Okay, so what are we talking about here? Because we know that they are going after Jalen Brunson hard. That is their priority, and we'll get to that in a second. But what else could be at play here? Are the Knicks wanting to get involved on DeAndre Ayton? That would be nice. I don't know that that's a great fit for what the Phoenix Suns would want. What would the Knicks possibly give up that would help the Suns in giving up DeAndre Ayton at that point?
Yeah, I don't know, Carlin. I don't know what the plan is moving forward, where they're going to pivot, but it's clear that DeJounte Murray and Jalen Brunson would help this team make a quantum leap in the direction that Leon Rose and Tibbs want to go in. And the fact that you missed out on Murray, it makes it feel as if there's got to be another move that's out there to be made, whether it's a sign and trade or it's somebody out there in the free agent marketplace that we're just not expecting, some kind of dark horse player. But here's the deal, Carlin. Jalen Brunson is a really good player. He's going to help the Knicks get better. He is not going to help the Knicks become a contending team. And I think that's the source of frustration for a lot of Knicks fans, because they feel like DeJounte Murray and Jalen Brunson together could put the Knicks in that conversation for being a top five team in the Eastern Conference. And here's the deal. I don't know that there's going to be another move to be made over the course of the next calendar year that you would be able to say that for the New York Knicks. And when it seems like you were that close, because you do have all of those assets, you got 11 first-round picks over the next 7 years, and I want to say something like eight of those first-round picks are tradable. When you don't make this kind of move, when you don't go after a guy like DeJounte Murray, when you have the chance to get him, it feels like this is one of those decisions that could come back to bite you.
Meanwhile, Kent and Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio, the Jalen Brunson situation. So, it had been reported yesterday that Jalen Brunson was going to meet with the Knicks, he was going to meet with the Dallas Mavericks, and he was going to meet with the Miami Heat. How about this from Zach Lowe and also from Tim Reynolds this morning on Twitter? Have heard the same thing this morning from multiple league sources. No in-person meeting between the Heat and the Brunson camp is planned at this point. And Reynolds goes on to say they did not have such a meeting scheduled per league source. Chris, here's what that tells me. If the Heat actually had interest in Jalen Brunson, once it became clear to them that Brunson to the Knicks seems like a fait accompli, they weren't going to bother, because they're not going to go and talk to Jalen Brunson and try to talk him out of going to New York. It's, you want to come here, you want to be a part of it, that's great, but if your mind's already made up, we're not going to be a part of your little game here.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a game, though, because Jalen Brunson has let it be known that he wants to compete for a championship, and he wanted the Knicks.
If he wanted to do that, he'd go to Miami.
The Heat to lay out. Well, you can say that, but he wanted both, all of the franchises that he was scheduled to meet with, to lay out a plan on how they were going to become a contender. And so I it's a little bit confusing to me about the whole Miami Heat situation, just because it would have to be via sign and trade how the Heat would acquire him, and they could potentially offer him more money than the Knicks could just signing him outright. So that to me is a little bit curious. The Heat don't have a lot of ways to reshape that roster or to add the piece that they would need alongside Jimmy and Bam to contend. But, you know, listen, I think Jalen Brunson is a really good point guard that's on the free agent market, and a lot of teams want him, because he has the ability to orchestrate the offense. He can get you into your half-court sets. He can get the ball to the guys in their spots where they can do what they do best. He makes everything easier offensively for your team. And so I think there's a value in that when you're the Miami Heat. There's also a tremendous value in that if you're the New York Knicks. It's just that the stakes are different for the two franchises because they're in different places. But I've said it all along. The Knicks need Jalen Brunson more than anybody else, just because they have not been able to solve the riddle of the point guard position for seemingly decades. And so now adding a player of that ilk is going to make RJ Barrett, Julius Randle, Emmanuel Quickley, Obi Toppin that much better.
No question, but there is a lot more that needs to be done to find the Knicks into the top four in that Eastern Conference, because it doesn't feel like it's going to happen this year.
No, it doesn't. But let me ask you this question, though, Carlin. If they were able to land DeJounte Murray, could we be having a conversation about the Knicks being a top five team in the East?
Absolutely.
But that's my point. And that's why Knicks fans are frustrated. And I think
they should be.
I think they're well within their rights, because if you're not going to get DeJounte Murray, well, then where are you going? Where are you going in free agency? What are we doing with all the draft picks?
And Chris, here's the thing. Like we have heard for years about positioning yourself for when the next superstar is available. Well, the superstar in the making was available yesterday, and he went somewhere else.
And here's the deal, Carlin. Here's the other thing. The Atlanta Hawks used the first-round draft pick they got from you in the Cam Reddish deal in order to pull it off. That's the insult to injury part for the Knicks fan.
There's like your little kick in the groin.
Cam Reddish didn't even play for the Knicks. That's the move. They used that along with the two unprotected first-round picks in future years in order to land DeJounte Murray, a guy that you could have had your hands on. It's got to be frustrating for Knicks fans. All I can say is Zion watch continues. We'll have to see whether or not they
– I think we got a break. I think we went over – I think we got a break at this point in time.
Wow.
Well, we'll break. I mean, I'm just saying we'll break. But, I mean, I just feel like we got to cut the Knicks fans a break and finally be able to get a superstar for them because the franchise doesn't seem like they're all too worried about it.
I don't know what the franchise is worried about. I think they're worried about their jobs. That's literally what they're worried about because they've done a half-blank job recently in the last couple of years that I think they're worried about it and they don't know where to turn.
You hear the broken spirit in Nuno's voice as a Knick fan. You can hear that. And I completely understand it. Nuno, let's allow you to collect yourself and break, as you said. And we have so much more coming your way on the Knicks, on the NBA free agency, which is about to begin. It is all out there for you. It is time to say goodnight to that check engine light with the free AutoZone Fix Finder service. It'll help troubleshoot the likely cause of your light for free so you can drive with peace of mind. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Is Jalen Brunson enough to excite the Knick Nation, or are they more ticked off about DeJounte Murray? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Your chance to get in on that in just moments. Up next, though, Miles Sanders makes some comments that really tend to harken back to some ill-fated comments that Vince Young made years ago. We'll get to that. And Greeny gallivanting around Europe. It's something to behold. Canty and Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio.
Greeny, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Yeah, Greeny. Checking out Greeny's social media. Boy, he's having quite the time all over Europe. It's Canty and Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio. So correct me if I'm wrong. He has gone over the last 4 or 5 days from England, from London, to Lisbon, and now Paris. Is that right, Nuno?
That's what it seems like, based upon the social media posts, which I don't know, how should I feel about the fact that he went to Lisbon and didn't, like, check in with me and be like, hey, by the way, are you cool with me going back to your country? Like, there's...
Well, he has to ask your permission, or do you want him to ask you for recommendations?
It's like a, hey, heads up, like, you need anything?
What are you, like, the embassy?
Like, hey, heads up, you need anything? You know, like, that type of thing?
I mean, if you
what
wanna,
are you going to help him with in Portugal?
I mean, I can see Nuno like having recommendations. He was born in Portugal, Nuno was. I can see him having recommendations.
I understand that, but do you think the places Nuno goes is where Greeny's going to go?
That's a great point, Bubba. That is an outstanding point.
Well, I don't know if that's a shot at me, right?
Oh, absolutely.
No, it's not a shot. I just think there are clearly levels to this thing, Nuno, and you need to accept that.
And you ain't on Greeny's level.
A different level.
Wow.
Just not. It might be the same building, but y'all got different views.
Yours is apparently yours is the garden view. Greeny, I mean, is it a fair verb to characterize Greeny in Europe gallivanting? Is that fair?
Gallivanting is a fair term, Carlin, and I'll take it a step further. I mean, as far as, you know, him and Stacey, they be out here doing stuff, man. Like, oh, I don't know too many couples that be out here doing stuff and moving around as much as him and Stacey do. And if you ever need a restaurant recommendation, no matter where you are in the world, Greeny has got a place for you.
Really?
It's unbelievable. He's got a place for you. Doesn't matter where you are, what you need, what the occasion is, you need a restaurant recommendation, Mike Greenberg has got you covered.
See,
it is unbelievable.
Tell me if I'm wrong about this, Nuno, Bubba. Greeny would strike me as a guy that might be a little bit of a finicky eater, no?
Not really. I mean, I guess to a degree, but he enjoys eating.
Okay.
Yeah, he doesn't like to get messy, I guess. That's the issue. Yeah, I guess that's the thing. But no, I mean, he eats.
But Greeny's not going to Joe's Stone Crabs.
Right. I mean, he'll eat wings. He'll just eat them with a fork and a knife, like
which is strange. About that.
So like, he'll eat, I guess that's the point, he's adventurous and he'll eat whatever with but he'll have napkins everywhere and forks and knives and everything set up that way. So I'd say he's not that picky.
Yeah, like
he's just strange.
Yeah, he'll be the guy that is trying to like cut open an M&M because he doesn't want to touch it, like that type of stuff. So that's the weird part of it.
He would eat a Snickers bar with a knife and a fork.
He tends to skew healthy, I guess I would say. Which you know I would say is unfortunate, but he tends to skew healthy and you know very non-messy.
The other thing I wanted you to consider, Chris, and guys. So my wife has been down with COVID for about 4 or 5 days since the weekend. And it was pretty bad the first couple days. Like, this is the first time that she's gotten it. And Saturday, Sunday, not getting out of bed, even Monday. She's feeling better, you know, yesterday and today. Can you just imagine for a moment me being the primary caretaker for you in that kind of an instance?
No, I couldn't.
Yeah.
It feels a lot like you would be like the woman in Misery. And just, it'd be torture.
I'm Kathy Bates.
The entire time. Exactly. That's exactly it.
Kathy Bates would play me in that scenario.
That's what it feels like. Now, I could be wrong, but yeah. I don't get caretaker when I look at you.
What do you get?
I get more undertaker when I look at you.
Exactly. It's not caretaker vibes. Yeah.
I do have the look of a guy that would be shirtless digging a grave.
There it is.
Absolutely.
Let me tell you something. Bubba nailed it.
I'd like to think that I'm pretty attentive across the board. And I am not speaking ill here. Let's just say that there are some people that when they are sick, they just want to fight through it and get through it and all that. And some people, when they are sick, they're maybe a little bit, you know.
They're going to milk it?
A little bit.
Okay.
My wife might milk it a little bit.
You're really saying that your wife is milking having COVID?
No, not now, but like, you know, everything's kind of, everything's in
the noise. You better hope Cheryl is not listening right now, because this is not going to go over well, brother. I promise you. I promise you, this is all bad right now.
So what exactly do you bring to the table if you can't, like, I'm trying to figure out, like, what's going to happen here.
See, here's the thing. I asked the question, but the truth is this. I am a very gentle caretaker. I am somebody that it would surprise you to find out. I dote on my sick wife when that happens. What can I do for you? Can I make you some lunch? Can I get you anything else? I'm walking in. Let's take your temperature. Here's the thermometer. Make sure that you are healthy in every way. Are you hydrated enough? What else can I do? I mean, I worked in a drugstore growing up, which pretty much makes me a doctor. So I think you'd be surprised at how well I excel at this kind of thing. I'm trying to do laundry, and I say trying to do laundry. I'm trying to make this household run like a top, spin like a top. And I think I have impressed myself with the way I've handled myself the last few days. That's all.
Sounds like you got everything under control over there.
I don't know how you're patting yourself on the back for this, Carlin.
Never knew you were this flexible.
This is what you're supposed to do. Yeah, it just certainly doesn't strike me as a guy that will do that. Carlin is very cat-like in that way. But I don't understand how you're patting yourself on the back for doing something that you're supposed to be doing.
Well, you do what you're supposed to do, but I think we would all agree that you wouldn't expect me to do it well. You might expect me to half-ass it.
Well, Colin, it's always important to under-promise and over-deliver. I don't understand why you have to come out here and say, well, you know what, I deserve to be husband of the year because I'm taking care of my wife while she has COVID.
Well, I think I deserve to be husband of the year primarily because nobody would expect me to deliver, and yet I have.
Well, we haven't established that you've delivered anything. This is only a one-way conversation.
Thank
you. We need to get her point of view to see how much you've actually delivered.
Maybe that can be arranged. I don't know. We'll see how she's feeling. She's particularly shy, but I have gotten plenty of thank yous the last few days.
She just wants you to leave the room.
All I'm saying is, that's all it is.
Yeah, I'm fine. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, thanks. Bye. Thanks.
I'm saying is, Canty, you know, as somebody that's getting married at the end of the year or at the end of the summer, maybe you should be paying attention. That's all.
I am taking notes on what not to do when I'm taking care of my fiance or wife when she's not feeling well.
Greeny, the podcast.
This is a pretty good story as far as wedding gifts go. And unfortunately, it's good in the moment, but I think it's going to go sour quickly if others follow suit. What am I talking about?
Hold on one second, Carlin. Hold on one second. Wedding gifts are never easy.
I mean,
What's hard about writing a check or giving somebody cash?
Well, it depends. Like, I'm a cash guy.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah, you're from New Jersey. You've let it be known.
Okay, but let's also be clear. Your wedding gift, how would I give you cash? You could buy and sell me.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean I'm opposed to getting more cash.
Colin, I understand that, Colin. I say this all the time.
Well, you can say that, but I always say if you know how much money you have, you don't have enough. So I don't know if there's a problem with you giving me cash or writing a check to celebrate my new nuptials.
Okay, but it's not always that easy. But this in some ways was genius and in some ways a little bit dangerous. Bubba, explain.
Yeah, so a guy named Vin posted on Twitter. He got married over the weekend, and his friend gave him a card. And it doesn't specify if he gave him anything else. So we'll just assume this is all it was in the card. And in the card, it said, Monday, June 27th, and then it listed four bets. Yankees, -1.5. Cardinals, money line. Rangers, -1.5. Rockies, +1.5. Then he drew a picture of a lock and he said of the year. So then the guy Vin on that Monday bet $50 on that. It was a four pick parlay +1286. He ended up winning $693.
So it's a great idea. It's a great idea, but you actually have to know what you're talking about here. Because otherwise, all you're doing is losing the money.
Yeah, otherwise you're just writing down some games and date numbers, and then the guy just loses money, and I don't know.
Yeah, this can't be like Carlin's locks of the night. This has to be, like, official. Like,
exactly.
We've got to get Joe Fortenbaugh, Daily Wager Crew on this, like, just like, making sure we know what we're doing here.
If you're going to make that a wedding gift, you need to have inside information.
But I mean, this guy's like a legend now.
Just give him the seed money too. Like, tell him this is the amount of money you need to wager. Here are the bets. Here's the $100, and then turn that into, you know, the $600, $700, whatever it ends up being. But I feel like you got to include the actual money that's going to be bet in order to make it a wedding gift. If that makes sense, Carlin.
We head to the phone lines now and welcome in ESPN NBA front office insider Bobby Marks, who will also give us a little bit of insight as to this whole wedding gift situation that we were discussing a few moments ago. Bobby, you're a Jersey guy. You have handed out contracts. When you are going to a wedding, is your go-to wedding gift cash, or is it actually going to the registry and getting the gift for the individual?
It's cash.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how it is. But I will say this. I did go to the Kim Kardashian, Chris Humphries wedding back in, I believe that was 2011.
Yeah.
And did not bring a gift at all.
So in that instance, would you have, were they telling you not to bring any gifts? Or was it, I can't give these guys cash?
Well,
Humphries had a ridiculous contract.
I I mean, we went on the registry, and there was, like, salt and pepper shakers for, like, $1,500, and I knew probably these two were going to be divorced in about 30 days, and I was like, I'm not spending that much money.
So, Bobby, you're taking over-unders on the amount of time they're going to be together at their wedding?
Oh, yeah. They had a great band, and the food was good. And I had 3 days in Santa Barbara.
Great band. The food is good. By the way, I give it 6 months.
See, here's what's genius about that, too, Chris, is because of etiquette, you actually have a year to give the gift. So with that in mind, Bobby, knowing that the under was going to be a year, I don't have to give the gift.
Beautiful. It's beautiful.
That is tremendous. I would have actually enjoyed it more had you just put $200 in an envelope and said, here you go. That would have been even better. Bobby, we appreciate the time as always. Let's get right into it. First of all, let's start with the DeJounte Murray trade yesterday. Your evaluation of what the Hawks gave up and ultimately how worth it is for them to make that deal.
Yeah, I mean, 3 first-round picks, 2 are unprotected is certainly pretty rich, especially that Atlanta's going to have him for 2 years. Because his contract is so, it's a team-friendly deal, I don't think he will be signing an extension anytime soon. And they look at it kind of as a 2-year window as far as to go out and try to win a championship, and hopefully they can get him to commit long-term here. I mean, I think probably the big concern for me, just having dealt with it in Brooklyn, would probably be that there's a pick swap involved there too, and that kind of leaves you certainly exposed. I think, Chris, that the other thing too is that, you know, for a San Antonio team that's, I guess, is focusing on, you know, their young players and rebuilding, you know, he's a 25-year-old all-star point guard. So if he doesn't fit that, what they're trying to do, that would leave me a little bit concerned, at least if I'm a Hawks fan's perspective. But he's a talented guard. Him and Trae Young, you know, they both need the ball in their hands. You know, I think Young will probably move on to the two guard here, but I understand that the trade, and, you know, certainly a little bit of a rich package as far as what had to go out.
Bobby, obviously a lot of Knicks fans are disappointed because that was another one of the teams that was linked to DeJounte Murray and potential trade rumors. And so for the Knicks to tap out of the bidding war and ultimately relent and let Atlanta make the deal with the Spurs, what is your thoughts on the Knicks not pushing to try to match the offer that the Hawks had on the table for Murray?
Yeah, I mean, I think certainly it would require some salary going out too. So you had a bunch going to Detroit, and maybe some of that could have gotten redirected. I think, you know, it's one thing to have protected picks from the Pistons or the Wizards the Mavericks in prior deals. And if it was going to cost you your own, you know, as you saw with Atlanta, you know, unprotected ones, it was probably something that New York, especially if the thinking now is that you're going to get, you know, potentially Jalen Brunson in free agency, then you eventually kind of just you walk away from it. But you know, there's opportunities out there when you go out and you do a deal like that and you're giving up 3 ones and pick swaps, like you won't have any more that many more swings at it, right? So you got to make sure that it's going to be the right player that you go after. So, and obviously here they're still waiting. You know, they're going to wait for one of these disgruntled all-stars to demand a trade, and hopefully they still have their picks to go out and do a deal.
Bobby Marks, ESPN NBA front office insider, joining Canty and Carlin in for Greeny today. Bobby, the Nets, there are rumors that they might get involved on DeAndre Ayton here. Your evaluation of, first of all, Phoenix's unwillingness to go to a max contract with Ayton and what Ayton actually adds to a team that is looking to acquire him right now?
Well, I wish some of these casino sites would just call me, and I'd help them adjust their lines as far as who's favored and who's not favored. So I saw the Nets as a second favorite to get DeAndre Ayton. I was like, how in the heck is that going to happen unless they're going to go trade Kyrie? Just because of the all these logistics from the salary cap standpoint. Yeah, I would love DeAndre Ayton if I was a Nets fan in a uniform here, but you know, it's the salary component here. Like, it's got to be one of your big three salaries that is going to go out in a deal. You know, it's not going to be, you know, Seth Curry and Joe Harris, I don't think. So I think when you look at Ayton, the market is going to be extremely interesting because, as you know, there's not many teams out there with room. that we feel like there's an impasse as far as what his future is going to be in Phoenix. Is there a team out there, whether it be Indiana, teams like Toronto that needs the center, that can come in and put a package together? And this thing might be in a little bit of a standstill for a little bit here, but they won't lose him for nothing. They'll get something back. But it's interesting that, the likelihood is that he does not return here.
What is it about Ayton that has rubbed Phoenix the wrong way here that they're ready to move on?
I think committing $32 million or $31 million per year at the center position is, they don't see that as good value. And they don't put Ayton up there where they see Joel Embiid and Jokic, maybe even Rudy Gobert, and that they could look at and try to use that money elsewhere as far as with the rest of the roster. And, they saw what Bismack Biyombo did and JaVale McGee when Ayton was out and, played pretty well. And they said, do we really need to commit, $31, $32 million to that player?
Talking with ESPN NBA front office insider Bobby Marks on Greeny. And Bobby, we're seeing news out of Philadelphia that James Harden is going to opt out of his deal and sign a more team-friendly contract that affords Daryl Morey some financial flexibility to go out and make some moves. We know that P.J. Tucker has been linked to the Philadelphia 76ers. Can you tell us about whether or not that's going to actually happen, and then what other moves could be on the horizon for the Sixers?
Yeah, you'll see Philadelphia probably when free agency starts later today. They'll use their $10.5 million mid-level exception. They'll use their 4.1 biannual exception. They'll have enough room under the $157 million hard cap to go out and re-sign Harden, whether it be $35 million, $36 million. It'll be interesting if it's a 3 or 4 year contract here. So he gave back money. I'm sure he'll earn it in the back end here, but I give him credit. Right, I think it's the relationship that he has with Daryl Morey. He saw that they can go out and get two players to help this roster right now and do that. And that's kind of where we see what will happen in Philadelphia. As far as the rest of the roster, I think it's certainly probably keep an eye on Tobias Harris as far as what happens with him. He's got 2 years, $70 million plus, and Peace Dybul. But if you can get a guy like P.J. Tucker and another player, and bring Harden back on a good contract, that's a pretty good start to the offseason.
Bobby, when you look at the Eastern Conference as a whole, when we talk about the Knicks and Jalen Brunson, we understand that it's not enough to maybe vault them up into the top 3 or 4 teams. But what other kind of piece would have to be added with Brunson if he goes there to really get them more into the conversation in the Eastern Conference?
Well, I mean, Brunson's not your number one. I think he's a good two, and he's a good two or three on a really good team here. So, is RJ going to take that big leap? Certainly had a really good year. Do we see Julius Randle, the 2020-21 version, who was an All-NBA player? That's where, for right now, what you're going to be heavily relying on as far as those two players, because with Brunson, if you're asking him to come in and be the savior, I think we're that's the wrong thing. He's being paid a premium because that's kind of what the market is dictating right now.
Talking with ESPN NBA front office insider Bobby Marks on Greeny. And Bobby, we saw yesterday that the Utah Jazz hired assistant head coach Will Hardy from the Boston Celtics to be their next head coach. How does that decision impact the future of Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, and that Jazz franchise?
Yeah, I mean, you get someone, there's an understanding as far as how he is going to use both players with Mitchell and Gobert, or maybe how he's not going to use them. And I think with Gobert, does he fit long-term as far as what the head coach is going to be, what he's trying to do in there? And I think it brings a little bit more clarity here. So I think, certainly that will be a name to keep an eye on. I mean, he's owed $38 million entering this, into this offseason here. But I think once you get that person in place, as far as is Rudy Gobert part of their future here, you get a lot more, answers than probably what questions were.
Bobby, big part of our NBA free agency special on ESPN, 4:30 to 6 today, and then 7 p.m., hosted by Malika Andrews. Breaking news, reaction from all our insiders and analysts, including Bobby Marks. Bobby, appreciate the time. Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you.
Bobby Marks, ESPN NBA front office insider. And I love the answer on the Kardashian wedding. More than anything.
Yeah, he didn't give him anything because they weren't going to stay married very long.
And he knew it.
Savagely.
He knew
it. But he still went to the wedding, though, Carlin.
Oh, I don't blame him one bit.
Is that bad form? No, that's the thing, though. Like, if you're not in full support of the union, of the actual marriage, if you don't think it would last, should you even show up and get the free food and free drinks?
Yes. If it's a Kardashian wedding, if it's a high-level, high-end wedding, there's no question you show up because you can hide under that little rule of you have a year to get the couple a wedding gift.
Well, Carlin, I will say this. You don't have a year to give me my wedding gift. I'm going to need my wedding gift the day of or shortly thereafter. Otherwise, we ain't going to be friends no more.
I have had that. The biggest problem that we had was the thank you notes, because you have a year to get those out too.
No, but see, that's the part that seems ridiculous to me. And I just got a thank you note from one of Mel's friends for a wedding that we went to a couple of months ago in Atlanta. What's the point of sending out the thank you note? Like, you showed up, I fed you, you had free drinks, we had a good time at the party. That's thank you enough. I don't know why I have to thank you on top of what I've already given you in experiencing my wedding. I'm glad you're there. Thanks for supporting us. The thank you for supporting us is the good food, the good drinks, the great cake, the great music at the party. I don't understand why I got to send out another letter, another stationery after I've sent out save the dates, after I've sent out formal invites. I don't know why I have to send out more paper, why I got to buy more damn stamps at the post office. I'm tired of spending time in the post office sending out stuff for the wedding. When the wedding is over, that's it. There is no more going out.
I don't disagree with a word that you said.
Thank you.
It makes all of the sense in the world. However, allow me to just share this instance.
Oh, boy.
There was, at one point in my family, a major rift that happened between my aunt and my mother over a thank you note where they did not speak for 4 years. I swear to God.
You got to explain what happened.
I swear to God, one Christmas, my aunt would come over with my uncle and would give gifts to all the kids. And there were six of us. So, like, that's, you know, that's an investment.
Sure.
So my sister, who was, you know, 10 at the time, was the only one of us that happened to send a thank you note, at least relatively quickly. My aunt sent a note back to my sister that said, hey, thank you so much for your thank you note. You are the only one of the kids who sent one. And I think that speaks highly of you.
Wow.
And my mother saw that note and she blew a gasket.
But why did she blow a gasket?
Because she's pointing out all the rest of the kids are bums. And not
well, they are. You don't have to send a thank you note, but you should say thank you. Like, you pick up the phone a couple of days later and say, hey, I really appreciate the gifts on Christmas. That was nice to think of us in that way. You know, but the fact that you didn't send a note, you didn't give a phone call, just nothing.
Again, this was in the span of about a week after Christmas. So my mother felt, well, wait a second. You're attacking me and the way I raise my kids because the rest of them haven't sent one yet.
Carlin, a hit dog will holler now. Mama Carlin might have been sensitive to something. And
listen,
that was brought out a little bit. Here's the thing. If you're giving six presents to all the kids, like that's something that is worthy of a thank you.
My mother is 89 years old. We are 100% Irish. I'll tell you one thing. She doesn't remember a lot. She remembers all the grudges.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the Podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio and see it with the video on ESPN Plus. Also catch Greeny on Get Up weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN and also available wherever you get your podcast.